Gracious Heavenly Father, blessed be thy holy name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace, your mercy and love in our life, Lord, and that we could be here this morning once again. We ask for your presence now, Lord, and bring down the word of life to us, that, Lord, we may understand and that we may rejoice, Father, in the strength of your word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and be seated. And let's go to the book of Matthew 26. Now, we are going to refer to all the four Gospels today. And it comes to the Lord's Supper. But we'll begin with the book of Matthew 26, verse 1 to 7, where we left off last week. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified now. Remember this, we are in the last week of Christ's life. And when he says here that is that, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, that means he has to be on a Tuesday. We know that Christ died on a Friday. Alright? Based on what we see in the calendar that happened to emerge with the cycles of the Hebrew Jewish calendar. And so, in verse 3, then examined together chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people up to the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and counseled that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it out on his head as he sat at meat. Now, you know, and I know that the religious leaders have always planned to try to take Christ prisoner and judge him and put him to death. And this is, I guess, very time when we read the scripture, because it was approaching the feast day, and therefore scripture therefore must be fulfilled, and Christ Jesus must fulfill those 7 feasts of Jehovah. Alright? And we know, and we have studied early on, that before this particular coming Passover, a week or two even before that, Jesus kept himself well clear of this Pharisees and the religious leader, because of the plotting to seize him. So he's always very watchful, and he knew that he must fulfill scripture, and the scripture must be fulfilled according to what God had already foreordained and prophesied in the Old Testament. And that is the thing about it, when Jesus prayed, thy will be done. And I believe it's the same thing that we should be also be watchful and praying and say, Lord, thy will be done in our life. We have to also fulfill scripture. You know. And sometimes when people are sick, people feel that, I'd rather die rather than suffer from all that pain and things like that. And if we are in the same situation, some of us might also, Lord, I pray, take me home and such like thing. Even, you read Brother Abraham's life story, that's what he said. He wanted to kill himself, but the Lord would not allow him to die. And yet from that, Brother Abraham learned. Now, he failed many times, but out of the failure, each time he failed, he learned from those failures. Now, it's no good for us that we fail and then we don't learn. Right, Brother Jensen? You see, so when we fail, we need to come to that place and say, okay, I failed in this, this is what I've done, and I need to improve on that, and discipline my life on that, and whatever needs to be done to continue walking with the Lord. You see? And so, now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, There came a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment upon on his head, and he said, admit. Now we already read before in the book of John that when Jesus was in Bethany, in Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. Now there is a conflict here between this between many of these theologians and preachers. Many of them have a conclusion that what was written in John, let's go to the book of John, so in case you forget where it is. The book of John, chapter 12, verse 2 to 8. Okay, now many of them say that what happened in John chapter 12, verse 2 to 8, that was a place where this woman, and the man, the name is mentioned, and the name is Mary. Right? Okay? And in that incident recorded in John, the anointing was not on the head, but in fact was the feet. Alright? But in this precise period here we read, it says it was the head. And it was the name of the woman was not mentioned. But many believe that it was the same. That Mary actually anointed both the head and the feet of Jesus Christ with the same a bottle of alabaster ointment. But there are some, very few, believe that these are two separate incidents. Now those who believe that they are same incident said that John wrote ahead, because it is chapter 12 verse 2 to 8, right? That is to say, John put the incident before he talks about the arrest. You know, the means that the incident that happens later, he put it in his writing ahead. And which sometimes normal, even some of the other writers do that. And even some of the books normal you read, you will normally sometimes have an insertion in between, you know? Okay? And something that is written ahead of time to show something. And so then many of them believe that they are the same incident. But to me, I look at it as definitely a separate incident. Though those who believe they are the same incident say that the Bible in John said that they were in Jesus Christ was in Bethany, but he didn't say in whose home. You know, even though he says in John that Lazarus was one of the guests, he didn't say that it was in Lazarus' house. So all these reasoning. Okay, but personally I believe that there were two separate incidents. One was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. This woman here has to be Mary Magdalene. That's what I believe must be a separate incident. The name was not mentioned here. Now we know that Mary Magdalene have washed Jesus' feet with her tears in chapter 7. Okay, but that was way earlier, after she was delivered from her the seven spirit that possessed her. But here was the last week of Christ there, coming up. In Bethany was just a day or two before Christ last week. And his head, the feet was anointed. And then here now his head was anointed. Okay. Gospel writers or theologians who study the gospel, we know that Matthew represents the king. Mark represents the servant. Right, or the sacrifice, the ox. And Luke represents the servant. And John represents deity. So they say that the head was anointed because he was anointed as king here. Somebody, you know, theologians say that. But then what about John? John Christ was deity. So why the feet? Will not the feet be the servant? Because the servant walks and serves. You see. So there is a lot of things that we look at. And we see one thing for sure, that I believe that in the first case in John, it was in Lazarus' home, Mary and Martha's home. Whereas in this case, it was in Simon the leper. Now the word Simon, the name Simon is a very common name. Okay? There is a Simon the Pharisee where Jesus sat in the home, and this woman, Mary Magdalene, came to wash his feet. Was Simon the Pharisee, but he was Simon the leper. Not that he was still a leper, but that he was once a leper and was healed. Because nobody will want to go to a man who has a leprosy and he's not allowed to live in among the community. You see. Okay, but let us go to the book of Mark 14. Now here we continue in Mark 14 and verse 3 to 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Now one word I want you to look at is in verse 3. She broke the box. Now the alabaster, of course the Bible used translated as alabaster box, it really sounds terrible. When you think about the word box, you always think about box as a square thing, oblong thing, right? But the alabaster is actually the alabaster box is actually a bottle rather than a box. Now, this is a very precious ointment. Now, it's very, very expensive. Okay, real perfume, when it's broken, the whole room filled with it. You can smell it. And it lasts a very long time. Okay, fake perfume you put on, you can only smell it for an hour, after that it's gone. Alright, so they are all sealed up in the alabaster bottle. Well sealed up. So, in order to really pour all out, you have to break it because the neck are very narrow. So now the Bible here said that she break the bottle. Now here's a good sermon, because this woman here is definitely not Mary, but it has to be Magdalene. And she came, and of course she was once a prostitute, right? We all know that. And then lived such a life, and perhaps have made her earning by all those vices in the past. And of course, you know, prostitutes sometimes, they have the money, they flung themselves, and then they attract more men into themselves. So she could have sent the money and bought this perfume for herself. But she have kept it all this time. And she came and anointed the head of Christ. And she just broke the bottle and poured it upon Christ's head, as Christ reclined at the table to eat. And then she anointed her. Now, to break the bottle is that you break oneself. This is the thing, is the breaking of oneself. What is your treasure? Perhaps this treasure, this alabaster bottle of spikenard, you know, being so expensive was a treasure to this woman. And she is willing to sacrifice all of that, break it up, and anoint Christ. Break it out of oneself, surrender of oneself, everything is poured out from within her. So that's why, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Right? So it's giving ourselves to the Lord. Let's continue with the word. And I said, there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, what was this waste of the ointment made when it might have been sold for more than 300 pence that had been given to the poor? And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone, why trouble you her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. Now, because the way it's written here, the same as you read in John chapter 12, okay, it's, there are some that murmur. In that chapter 12 of John, it specifically singled out Judas Iscariot. Alright, so many believe that the same incident, that's why, because of the way it was written. Verse 8, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Verily I say to you, whatsoever these gospels have been preached throughout the world, the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for the memorial of her. Alright, let's go back to chapter 26. And so what many, every one of us always remember, that Jesus was anointed with ointment. Isn't it? In fact, one of many cases that we know. In fact, I think there are only three cases. One was the ointment on the head, and the one ointment on the feet, and the other one was the washing of Christ with the tears. Alright? Chapter 26, now let's go, Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the chief priest did not come to Judas Iscariot. Right? The Bible here specifically said in verse 15, and he said unto them, what will you give me? Judas made that choice to go and betray Christ, make a covenant. He made a choice to go and betray Christ to the Pharisees. Now here is, after all, the Pharisees knew who Judas was after he had been with Christ for many years. Okay. But now here came the disciple, this betrayer, to them. And made a covenant with them. Another place they use the word covenant with them. And they were excited, of course. You know, the Pharisees, well, here's an opportunity. You know, someone will betray him to us. And make an arrangement as to how much it will be. And the amount was 30 pieces of silver. Now that's got a lot of money, huh? You see, the Pharisees, the scribe, the priest, they have money. They have no worry for that. To give him 30 pieces of silver. Now, we make choices every day. As a Christian. Now, you have been Christian. We have been living Christian. Living as a Christian for how many years? I don't know. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. 10 years, 5 years, whatever. The thing is that when there will be time come when you will have to confess in a situation that you find hard to confess before men. Remember? In the last of what Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24, you know, there will be brothers betraying even brothers. Right? Was not Christ our brother? He is. And Jesus even said further, whosoever confess me before men, will I confess before him before my Father in heaven. If you don't confess Jesus Christ before men, what then? What will happen if there are situations, even present day? You work as in the office, your friend, your colleague, your relative, you know, and they say all kinds of things, and then, you know, do you feel ashamed of being a Christian? I remember when I was young, my father had, you know, he had two wives, and of course the other side, they don't believe in the gospel. So when I was young at that time, of course, and the thing is that we are all English educated. We went to English school, you know, and we don't study Chinese at all. It's not basically a Chinese school. So, the other side, practically everyone that speak Chinese very well. On the other side of my father's family. And so when we were Christian, we were in our teen and you know, mixing with them, and they make fun of us. Now, some of your young brother doesn't realize, I'm the older brother at this side. So, I'm the one they're targeting at. They criticize me, they make fun of me, you know, say, why English people, you know, you study English, you know English, you even have an English God, and things like that. What? Who is Jesus, who is Yeso, you know, this sort of thing. They make fun of me. You know, not in a way so bad, but in a way that you make you feel very unpleasant. Why do they deride Jesus Christ? Just because I believe in him. You know. Even of course my father wasn't one who believed in Christ, and you know, and in fact he was very much unhappy about me being a Christian. You know, he even questioned me, why should I be a Christian? Why should I worship Jesus and things like that? You know, so, but even though as young as I was in my teen, I was firm to confess because he's my Savior. You see, I say you can believe what you want, but I believe him as my Savior. You know, and so if you come to a situation where people deride you, you know, your relative, somebody close to you, especially, you need to stand firm on what you believe. Whether it's your friend, your colleague, you know, because that's where the true test of your faith comes in. Right? as Brother Clement said, God picked us, predestined us, He justified us, He's glorifying us, and then, you know, with Him one day. And then, you know, we have nothing to do with salvation. He, Jesus Christ, He was the one who picked us. Right? Isn't it true? We don't seek after Him, He seek after us. And now that we are His children, we are God's children, how do we reciprocate when it comes to that name of Jesus Christ? Should not we hold on to that faith and confess Him before men? Isn't it true? We have to. That's the hope. Because if we don't confess, let me say that we're not even thinking of any hope. We're talking about the hope. Right? We're looking for the blessed hope. If faith is something that can be seen, if eternal life is something that can be seen in the natural, if God can be seen in the natural, then He is, that I can see Him with my natural eye, there is no more need for faith at all. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And because of what is written, and because of what is given to us by revelation, the Spirit of God quickening our spirit to give us that revelation and understanding, therefore we have that home and longing to go where we belong. This world is not our home, we don't belong here, we belong over to that other dimension. See? So we need to have this strong, you know, faith in us when it comes time for us to make a testimony. Okay? Alright, let us go right now to the book of Luke 22, and let's see what it says here in 22:3-6. Here Luke says that, 22:3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how that he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant with him to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. So you see here, the devil has already gone into him. So don't ever let the devil enter into our mind, and then from there get into our heart, and he take the word of God away from you, and he sits right there. Remember that. Huh? Remember, this is the age that Satan has already stole the word from the hearts of men. Yes. So don't let him take the word away from our heart. The precious revelation of life. You see. And so whatever we learn, it's so important we must keep learning. Keep drinking of the fountain of life. Keep eating of that old corn of the Holy Word of God in this journey. Because the journey is not going to get any easier. And we can see they are falling away. Son of brother and sister are having hard time. And some of them find it hard even to come on fellowship. So this is a test. You know, God says that I have no pleasure in those who backslid. And that is very true. You know that, don't you? Yes. Look at Israel. How many times Israel backslid? And God so patient with, you know, with them. Give them grace. Until such a time God says, that's enough. You know. And what did He do to them? He dispersed them all over the world, and they suffered for it. Not only by the Old Testament time under Babylon or under the Assyrian Empire, but even in the New Age, what we call AD period, 70-80, when they were completely thrown out. For how many years? Almost 1,900 years. Before they came back to Israel. And to this day, Israel still did not recognize. Still, they do not recognize who that man was. You know, as a nation, they failed to see. Though, of course, God deals with individual. But as far as Israel is concerned, God is always wanting to deal with them as a nation. So they're going to suffer, and they shall enter into Jacob's trouble. And I don't think anybody wants to be a part of that. You see. Alright? Mark 14, 12. Let's go back to Mark 14, 12 to 16. Now here, I want you to put a marker here on this passage of scripture from verse 12 on. And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, why would God that we go and prepare that thou may eat the Passover? And he sent forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city that you there shall meet you a man carrying a pitcher of water and follow him. Wheresoever shall he go in, say you to the good man of the house. The master said, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, and that make ready for us. And the disciple went and came to the city, and found that he had said unto them, and they make ready the Passover. And in the evening he came with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eat with me shall betray me. Now, this is quite a straightforward little thing. Okay, it says, the first day of unleavened bread. Now let us look at what is the first day. Let us look at the chart. Okay, on the seven feasts of Jehovah first. These are the seven feasts of Jehovah. Okay, now, we have the Passover here. Now this is the first month. Okay, the Passover happened on the first month. The first month when they came out of Egypt. It's Nisan, or we call it Abib. Alright? And the first month, the Passover is only one day. It happened on the 14th day of Abib. Okay, then followed by 7 days of unleavened bread. And after which, there is a day what we call the Pentecost. Now, all these 7 feasts, as we said, Jesus Christ must fulfill them all. So he had already fulfilled all these 4. And there is a break between the 3rd month and the 7th month. And we are living in this present period. Okay. Coming now to 120th day when the gospel will go back to Israel. And then this last 3 feasts has yet to be fulfilled by Jesus Christ for the children of Israel. Now remember one thing. All these feasts are feasts of Jehovah. Are God's feast with the children of Israel. Okay, it has nothing to do with us. Okay, but only that we are grafted into the family, therefore this shows that we are part of the whole God's plan anyway. Okay, alright, let's go look at the calendar. So that we look at the calendar now. Look at this. This is the first month. Abib. Alright. Now the Bible in the book of Exodus, God told Moses when they were in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, God told Moses to take the lamb on the 10th day of the first month, alright? And then slay it on the 14th day. Now, this was done, and when they left Egypt and went out there in the wilderness where they were, they did the same thing. Now, go to the book of Leviticus. Okay, go to the book of Leviticus. And we see in chapter 23. Now the whole of chapter 23 is about the feast of Jehovah. Alright. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of of the Lord, or Yahweh, or Jehovah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days work shall be done, but the 7 days is a Sabbath of rest. A holy convocation, you shall do no Sabbath work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocation which you shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day. Now you see that? Okay, let's look at chart. It says in verse 5, this in the 14th day of the first month at even is a Lord Passover. So the 14th day of the first month. Okay, 14th day. On the first month. The 10th day they take a lamb without spot or blemish and kept it until the 14th day. On the 14th day at evening time, the Bible said, In the 14th day of the first month at even is Allah's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Unleavened bread started here on the 15th day. Because why? It happened to be the Passover, but it happened to be the Sabbath. And the Sabbath starts on the 14th at 6 p.m. Right? So now, that's why we have a problem with the calendar of the Jews with the Roman calendar that we use today. Our time starts at midnight. Alright? But their time starts 6 hours earlier at 6 p.m. So who make the mistake? The Roman make the mistake. Because when the sun set, everybody go to sleep. And you start your work at 6 a.m. in the morning. Right. But the problem is that we start our day, or the Romans, crazy people they are, start in the middle of the night a graveyard shift. Huh? We call that a graveyard shift. So they begin in the middle of the night like zombie. How can you come there in the middle of the night? Something like that. And so because of that, the world have a problem. We don't go to sleep early. We're going to sleep after midnight. You see, isn't that right? I mean, you don't stay back to the people who are until in the middle of the night, and everyone you have, they go out somewhere in the city and go and find a 24-hour coffee shop. 24 hours, you eat in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., what is this? People, when the sun set, everybody goes home. Back those doors, they go home. They eat their dinner. And by the time I guess about 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., they sleep. That's most early. And they get up early in the morning at 6 a.m. Isn't that so? You see? So, who is the fault? Not the Hebrew, not God, because the Bible in Genesis, already the Bible said, the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, that's what they call God come, evening and morning. But here we come morning and night. Right? We come morning and night. We don't come night and morning. Huh? So, we have a problem. So, because of that. Okay, anyway, there are 7 days of unleavened bread from here started, okay, until these 7 days. And then here, of course, is also a Sabbath. Now, so the Passover starts from here. Now, the Bible, we know that by the 2 days, after 2 days shall be the Passover. So it has to be a Tuesday when it was recorded. Then it will be a Thursday, 2 days. But here, it's a little bit on the corner here of Thursday is 6 p.m. It started the Passover day. So now, when we come to this, we have really quite a problem, even today. The Jew rabbi, Jewish theologian, can't even actually define. When the Bible talks about the two evenings, between the two evenings, when is the two evenings? The Bible said that the lamb must be killed between the two evenings. So what is the two evenings? Some said between 12 noon and 3 p.m. Some said no, 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. So, it's kind of it. So, you know what, last night I was very realistic. Why are people so, you know, the Jew can't even tell. Because the Pharisees, even among the Pharisees themselves, can't even, you know, decide when. But he says it's between dusk and twilight. Now, how many of you can tell me what is dusk and what is twilight? Now, these are all English words coming up with all this twilight nonsense, the dusk nonsense. What is dusk and what is twilight? It's supposedly to be a period when the sun set. You know, in the holiday, the sky looks a little funny. So in the morning, it's called dusk. And then going down into twilight. Then in the morning it's called, not dusk, it's called dawn. So it's a period between, as the sun set, there's the glow, there's the dusk going into the twilight, into the darkness. So you wonder, why did they call that? Why did they give such a name? But to us, what time is the sunset? Sunset's at 6 o'clock. I mean, not necessarily 6 o'clock here, right now, because we have forward our time. So even at 7 p.m. is still bright, huh? Isn't it so? You know. So you cannot use time like 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. You always have to look at the sun, you know. So when the sun goes right down, it's okay, that sunset. Every country in Alaska, you know, the sun don't even set in the summer, isn't it? Yeah, it's always in the horizon. Things like that. Okay? But this is just roughly. to know that we know that the Passover must be killed after 3 p.m. Okay? And between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. is the time that they must prepare the Passover, roast it and cook it already, and then have it put on the table. And then 6 p.m. comes, or the sunset comes, that is to say, when they eat the Passover. Okay, so alright. Let's go back now to the book of Mark. Alright, now he says in the first day of unleavened bread. So when is the first day now? First day of unleavened bread, it means to say you will be 15, isn't it? Because after Passover. And yet, though 15, we consider 15 as the day, but it begins on 14th evening. So because Passover started on the 14th evening. So 14th evening we know is a Friday, right? Are you following me? Did Jesus partake of this Passover? That's the question now comes in. And this has been a question everybody been asking. Did Jesus partake the Passover? If he did partook of the Passover, then what happened? Then how could the following day be another Passover? Because the Pharisees said, "Hey, you don't want to be defiled when he was betrayed and they got him." You see. So when? How is it? Now the word Passover, it has been by that time just like this. This feast that we read in the book of Leviticus, it is called the Feast of Jehovah, right? The Lord's Passover, right? But when you come to the New Testament, many times you read it, it's called the Jews' Passover. It is no longer called the Lord's Passover. It becomes the Jews, because they have their own tradition, they have their own. So now, when you use the word Passover can and have a meaning. The meal, the day itself, or the period itself. So, when this is the New Testament now, remember, and it is a setting in the time of the Roman Empire. The word they speak, Roman, speak Greek. They spoke Aramaic, of course they had Hebrew among the Hebrews. But because they are living in that time, it seems that when they use the word day as calendar day, it can be very confusing as to what day. So, what we do is that we ignore all this, when it said in verse 12, the first day of unleavened bread, when they kill, it seems the way they read it as if the first day of unleavened bread already was there. The very day itself on the 14th, they were asking Jesus, guys, where will you eat? Apparently, it cannot be. As if to say that they were there on that particular day. Okay, let us go read other scriptures now. Okay, let's turn over to the book of Luke 22, verse 14 to 16. Oh, verse 7, you can see it's the same. Alright, you see verse 7 of Luke chapter 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now when we say, then came the day of unleavened bread, when we read like this, what does it mean? Does it mean that the day itself, then came the day as if it's to be that particular day, or is it then came the day as if it's to come, or the event is coming? That's kind of the translation. Many people have actually blamed a lot of problem in translation. But let us go on. Okay, he said of Peter and John. In the book of Mark, it does not mention who. But they went up and saw, of course, prepared and men carrying a pitcher. And then right now over in verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they make ready the Passover. Verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, in verse 40 it says, when the hour was come, they sat down. Okay? Alright. Just think about this, that the hour came and they sat down. Now let us go to another. to the book of John, chapter 13 now. I want you to compare all these four passages. Alright, John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this one to the Father, having loved his own which they were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, now so that means that, well, he's already in, since the verse 1 mentioned about the feast of Passover, and now the mention of supper being ended, Jesus is sitting at that table, or the Passover table. Okay, so now, let us go back. Let us go back to Matthew chapter 26. Now, I'm picking up certain verses of scripture to show you something here. We have actually quite a number of different opinions over this setting. And so much so that people would say that Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday. Okay? And resurrected on Saturday. Some say he was crucified on Thursday and resurrected on Sunday. So everybody have different ideas of what it is. And I always say this, in fact when I was in denomination, I thought that Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday. It was a very good theory because it based on Daniel 70 week. Because the Bible said in the midst of the week. Remember in the midst of the week, he break the covenant. And of course it was the Antichrist, but I was saying that was kind of good, you know, because, you know, middle of the week is actually Wednesday, isn't it? Right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday on one side, Thursday, Friday, Saturday on the other side, and Wednesday is in the middle of the week. Right? And it turned out that it wasn't so, because the people proved that was because that Thursday was the Passover day. Because the Bible mentioned that it was a high day. So they think that it was a separate Sabbath day. But the word high day means important day. So when I was denomination, I thought it was a good theory, good teaching. Then I realized that it cannot hold water according to the Old Testament. Because we now understand that the New Testament interprets what was in the Old, right? Because it was the Old unfold, revealed. We know that, don't you? So whatever event in the life of Christ, whatever prophecy regarding Christ, must have its fulfillment based on the Old Testament prophecy. And so when I went back in those days, when I started studying the Feast of Jehovah, then I realized that Christ could not be crucified on Wednesday, nor on a Thursday. Because what we read over just now in Leviticus 23, that 14th day was the feast of the Passover in the evening, right? Is that alright? And then the 15th day happened to be a Sabbath, right? And the 16th happened to be the first fruit. So it is connected one day after another. So you cannot have a gap of Christ dying on a Wednesday, and then the Passover, and then the Sabbath was 2-3 days later, right? If he was to come on a Thursday, the Sabbath comes on a Saturday, which will be 2 days later. When the Wednesday is 3 days later, there's no gap in the feast between Passover, the Sabbath, and the first fruit. Right? Do you remember? Let's see the chart. Let's go back to the chart again and look at the feast chart. Just remember this here. Alright, the feast chart. Passover is 40. The unleavened bread starts on the 15th. Do you understand? And the first fruit starts on the 16th. But from the 15th to the 21st, all those days are unleavened bread days. It means in the house, you cannot have anything leavened. Okay? You can work outside of Saturday, which of course is the Passover, of course, and we say it's Friday. It's a working day, right? That's a day of preparation. You following me? And then the following day is the Sabbath. Okay? And it begins the unleavened bread. That's the Sabbath. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, until the next Sabbath, all those days are unleavened bread days. But you still can, you can work. They are not Sabbath. Okay? Sabbath comes only once every week. So between this first day out, on the 15th, it begins the unleavened bread until the next 7 days. Then you come to Sabbath again. So 14, 15, 16 are continuous. There's no break in between, according to Leviticus 23. So you get what I'm saying now. Okay, now go back to Matthew 26 now. Verse 17. Now the first year of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "What would thou that we prepare for thee? Where would thou be prepared for thee to eat the Passover? What do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Now, when he said to eat the Passover, as I said, it could be a meal, it could be what's on the table, the lamb, okay, alright, or to keep the Passover. In some place, the word keep the Passover is used. And here he said in verse 18, and he said, "Go into the city to such and such," and said to the master, to the man, "The master said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover." You see the word? I will keep the Passover at the house of my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. Right? So, Jesus said, "I will keep the Passover." Now, in other places in translation, he says, "I'm going to keep the Passover. I will keep the Passover. I shall keep the Passover. I have the desire to go and keep the Passover." So these are translations. So the word keep, eat, cannot necessarily mean that they eat the Passover lamb. Do you understand? Because of what happened in the New Testament, they are not the same as in the Old Testament. And that's why it is many times called the Jews' Passover. Now let's go on. Verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I said to you, one of you shall betray me." Now, as they did eat. Now, it gives us the implication that they actually ate the Passover lamb. But in no way in the Gospel, not even one place in the Gospel, was the Paschal lamb ever mentioned. Because what was most important on the Passover table? The lamb. Do you know that? The lamb. You go over in the Old Testament, it's always about that lamb. Why wasn't the lamb mentioned? Huh? Even the table was not even mentioned about anything on it. What was on it? Of course, the table was made ready. Right? So if it was made ready, and if that day that Jesus had sat down and eat the Passover lamb, if he did eat the Passover lamb, then he didn't fulfill the prophecy. He didn't fulfill the feast of Jehovah. Correct, not? Because he is the Passover lamb. And he must be fulfilling that. So now when we read this, just look. Verse 21 said, and as they eat, he said, "Verily I said unto you, one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful. And every one of them said unto them, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord?" Okay? Now, let us go again to the other next passage. It was in Mark 14, verse 17. And in the evening, he came up with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you will betray me, which of me will betray me?" And everyone, of course, was sorrowful again and said, "Which is who, right?" Okay. Then go over to Luke 22. Now, here we want to read Luke 22 right through, because how the way that Luke wrote his gospel, if you're not careful, you'll get it all confused. Okay, now, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it is fulfilled the kingdom of God." What do you mean? Really? Verse 15 and 16. with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I said to you, I will not eat anymore thereof until it is fulfilled the kingdom of God. Now with desire, Jesus said, I will keep the Passover. The disciples are asking you, what do you want to eat the Passover? We prepare for you. Jesus said, I will keep the Passover. What was Jesus talking about? Was he talking about third demon thing? I will keep the Passover. But the Passover is a period to begin on the 14th day. Which is of course 6 hours earlier will be on the 13th, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be so? 6 hours earlier, 13th, before it falls on our 13th of AB. It falls on 13th AB, right? 14th of AB begins when? On our calendar time, it begins 6 hours on the 13th, isn't it? It has to be. So, when you want, let's just know, today is the 13th. 6 p.m. today will start the 14th. Right. So we say, a Passover is 9. What would you want us to eat? What would you want to eat at Passover? Where? You want us to go into a hotel room, or go to some guest chamber, or some friend's home to prepare it for you? When you read about the Passover, you are talking about a period now, right? Or in a meal. But not necessarily the Paschal lamb being there on the table as yet. Because we read later on when Jesus Christ was crucified, they had to take down their body. Right? Why? Because the Jew does not want the body to be hanging out there on the Passover day. And Passover day happened on that evening to be a Sabbath also. Right? Isn't it? 14th evening, the evening, at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. already begin the 15th day. Can be a bit confusing. Isn't that so? So, did Jesus Christ eat the Passover lamb on the 14th day evening when the day was the day when he was crucified? He can't. So, when he sat down to eat, you must expect that this was a day earlier. It has to be on the 13th, 6 p.m. That begins the 14th day. There's no other way that you can look at it. In order for him to fulfill the Old Testament. Correct, no? We have to base what we look at in the New Testament in the Old. Or else we have a problem. Just like when the Bible said, when the angel came to John's parent. When Elizabeth was, pregnant with him. Right? What did the angel told the father? He shall go forth in the power and the spirit of Elijah, right? And shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And then he did not quote the second part of Malachi. Now, people today in denomination, they refuse to see, they said that John the Baptist fulfilled what Malachi 4, 5, 6 said about him. But it was not true. If you don't take what's in the New Testament prophecy and put it in the Old Testament to see it properly, then you have a confusion. Right? So the same thing right here. Okay, let us go on here now. Jesus said, I have desire to eat this Passover. But I will not eat any more thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then you see verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of heaven of God shall come. Then, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and break it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man go as it was determined. But woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Now, you read it here, and you read all the other gospel, you say, this cannot be. Why? In the other gospel, the betrayer comes before this one. You know the betrayer. You see, the Bible says Jesus, he said, Luke said that Jesus took the bread, right, break it. And then he took the cup, right? Then he said, one of you is going to betray me. Now, if you read like this without looking carefully at the word, now the Bible said, Luke, in his chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, when he wrote this to Theophilus, he said, I'll set the thing in order. But this doesn't look orderly, huh? Correct. But watch what the word says. Go over to verse 20. What did he say in verse 20 here? Likewise, also the cup after supper. Not during supper. After supper. Right? You understand? Okay. Then we go down to verse 24 here. And there also was a strife among them which should be accounted the greatest. And he said to them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, and you shall not be so. But he that is great among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that do serve. And whether is greater he that sit at meat, or he that serve, is not he that sit at meat, but I am among you as he that serve. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appoint unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this portion here cannot be after the communion. Cannot be. It has to be before. You could check all the others. But notice what is written in verse 24. And there was also a strife. Now what Luke was right, the way that Luke wrote this event here, he was just writing and says, oh, you are having supper. Huh? And he took bread and he took the cup also after supper. And then he also said, there was also a strife. Now he did not place it in sequence. He was just interjecting before and put it ahead of the communion. Okay, now let us go and look at the others, and then we come over to the book of John later, huh? Okay, verse 21 of Matthew 26. Okay, verse 27, when even was come, he sat down with the 12, and they did eat. He said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began everyone to say, who is it, Lord? He said, I am. He said, he that dip his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man go as is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for him, good for that man, if he had not been born. When Judas Iscariot, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Now, go to the communion now. Got it? Correct? Is that not so? Verse 26? From here, Matthew wrote, after he said, you are the one, to Judas Iscariot. And then he said, verse 26, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Correct? There is a missing gap there. Okay, now let us go to Mark. Mark. Verse 17. Chapter 14, verse 17. And even it was come with the 12, and as they sat and they eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eat with me shall betray me. And he began to be sorrowful and said unto him one by one, is it I, is it I, is it I, and so on. And he answered and said unto one, it is one of the 12 that dip with me in the dish. Of course it is one of the 12, because they are 12 there, nobody else there, right? It seems to say the word, the way that is written, it is one of the 12. And verse 21, the Son of Man indeed go as it was written, it is written by woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they eat, Jesus took the bread. Now, no mention of pointing out to who.
was a betrayal.
Okay, now go to Luke. In Luke, there is nothing written about betrayal. Am I alright? Isn't it so? Nothing written there. Okay, now go to John chapter 13. Now, it's interesting here. Now, John 13 actually gives you the whole detail. Exactly the way it should be. In verse 2, and supper being ended. Now, this supper, therefore, cannot be the Passover supper. He didn't say anything about a Passover supper. It's a supper. It's a meal. That's all. What was on the table, as far as I can tell, is a table prepared for the Passover. But the lamb cannot be on the table until it is past 6 p.m. or just before 6 p.m. that comes and into the next day, which is the 15th, the 7th. So the table was prepared a day before. They will have to clean the house out of all the leaven. Anything that is leavening must be thrown out. The table has no leavened bread, nothing leavened. So what's on the table is kosher bread, unleavened bread. It's come on the table. You have all the herbs that's on the table. Alright, you have wine on the table. When I was in Beirut, when we eat, most of the things that are on the table is all herbs and, you know, grains. Hardly any meat at all, you know, unless water meat. You know, and the meat, of course, they take quite a while to cook, so most of the things that comes out are all this herbal thing. So, Jesus said and ate just an ordinary meal. After having eaten the meal, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God, he raised from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girt himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was good. And he came, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what do you know now, what I do now, you do not know, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never, ever wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now that's important about feet washing one another, because you are part of each other. Okay, or the body of Christ. So Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hand and my head. Peter is not, he's just, I don't know, he's just, I don't know, very hot-headed guy, and very quick, you know, and get all excited. And he said, not only my feet, not all my head, my whole body too. Right? Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not say to wash his feet. Because why? The feet is our walk. That's why we talk about washing feet. You understand? We have to wash our feet every day. In that sense, because it means how we walk before the Lord. But it's clean every week, and you are clean, but not all. See, you are clean, but not all, because one of them is not clean. And that is Judas Iscariot. For he knew who would betray him. Now you see, about this betrayer here. When here, one of you is not clean, it means Judas Iscariot is still there. Now I want to place it, because when I laid this out, years and years ago, back in the 70s, when we have feet washing and then communion, the other churches, the other brand of my church, as I always call them, African is wrong, yeah, he didn't do what the prophet said. Brother Ben have a communion first and then feet washing. So they're trying to say I'm wrong. Just because Brother Ben won, I mean, I believe the problem, perhaps do not think much about it. And because as I said in my article, communion, the cup and the bread, and feet washing, and your water baptism, all of these three, okay, are instituted by the Lord, right? And all these are separate. And there's no need to say we must do this, followed by this, followed by this. You understand? Baptism, you did only once, and that's it. Am I not right? Feet washing, you can do it anytime you like. Communion, you can do it anytime you like. You can do it without feet washing. And you can go to the home of a brother and say, "Brother, I'm so sorry, I've done so much to you, let me wash your feet." You don't need the communion. But you know, I've always been to this thing. He said, you're wrong, you're wrong. Why? Am I wrong because of the word? Or am I wrong because you think that I'm wrong and you don't like it? And because you think that I'm against Brother Branham? And this has always been that spirit of Branhamism. Now the Pharisee, "Oh, Jesus, he's wrong. He's a demon. He's a Baal-zebub, casting out devil by Baal-zebub," and so on. Right? If your scripture is true, you speak evil of it. Why? And when we look into all these four gospels here, you realize that the feast or this table that Jesus set and eat was not the Passover meal, was not the Passover lamb. It was a table prepared for the Passover, and you can sit there and eat the meal, what was laid on it. But the Passover lamb was not eaten, because Christ was that Passover. He must fulfill it. I must keep that Passover. I must keep that Passover. I'm happy. My appointed time. All the feasts that Jesus fulfilled, you know, he was also the seventh. Remember, after he died, his body was laid to the tomb to rest? Yes. He was our seventh. He kept the seventh. He said, "I'm the Lord of the seventh." He says, "I will keep my first fruit." Remember, Christ was the high priest? Right? In the Old Testament, on the first day, the day after the Passover, the sheaf, the first harvest, is taken into the temple, and the high priest waved before the Lord. And Christ, on the first day of the week, he resurrected, and he went out. He said, "Don't touch me." Remember, the woman was there until I present myself before the Father. He has to wave it before the Lord. He kept it. He kept the Passover. He kept the Sabbath, and he kept what? The first fruit. And suddenly he is going to, and he came back on the day of Pentecost like he promised. And you know what? He is our Pentecost. Because what does Pentecost means? Jubilee. Right? 50th day. Freedom. Liberty. Are you not liberated? Huh? You are free in Christ? Because of our liberty in him. Okay, now watch. And then he said, "One of you are not all of you are clean." For he knew that who will betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was sat down again. Now you see, remember, he sat down again. Anybody want to tell me he's wrong? Everybody just read the verse here and there and then they come to the conclusion. No, I'm not a person who tries to teach something and just simply read the text and apply it out to you and present it as if it's the truth. We want to study, we want to lay it out the way it should be laid out. Jesus, in the evening, he came with the 12, sat at the table, eat the supper, right? After he finished eating, he got up. The Bible says he got up here. Alright? Put an apron around him, took a basin of water, and washed the disciples' feet. Right? Then the Bible said he took the garment aside, and then he went and sat down at the table again. It's not me. I said, that's what the Bible said. Right. Okay, now look. Verse 12. So after he washed your feet, he had taken his garment and was set down again. He said unto them, "Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord. You said, well, so I am. If I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." This is something we are always to do. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. For you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eat bread with me have lifted up his heel against me." Now he eat bread with me. It means on the table, bread means food. The word bread, don't always read bread as roti, yeah? No, you understand? Okay? Not plata, not thosai, not the French loaf. Bread means food. Okay. Verse 19. "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily I send to you, he that receive whomsoever I send receive me. But he that receive me receive him that sent me." Of course. When Jesus had thus said,
He was troubled in spirit. Now you see that? Now he's troubled in spirit. But in the other gospel, you find that when you sit down there, you're very troubled in spirit. Okay? Because the devils did not fill in the gap. And testified and said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." Now you see, the betrayer comes after he washed the feet, after he had eaten at the table, and went back and sit down again. You got it now? Okay. Then the disciples look at one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus was one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who he would be, of whom he spake. Now in the other gospel, everyone said, "Lord, he said, I Lord, he said, I Lord, he said, alright." But this one here, of course, everybody is murmuring. Nobody dared to say anything. And Peter, you know, was a little away, and the one who was sitting next to Jesus Christ was John, as usual. You know, and asking, who is that, you know? So then John said, John lying on the breast of him, asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a soap when I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the soap, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." Of course, when he said that, everyone is asking, "Lord, is I know this guy." So when Jesus said, "This is the one who I'll dip the soap and give it to him." So when he took the soap, I mean a piece of bread, dip it into the sauce, Simon and Judas Iscariot was also reaching out to dip, and the Lord just gave his to him, and he took it. And then Judas said, "Is it I?" And Lord said, "You are." You know, and let's see what it says here. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a soap when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the soap, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon. And after the soap, Satan entered to him." Then again, Jesus said unto him, "That thou do quickly." What happened to him? He left the table. He was never at the communion table. That I want to tell you. Right? Why was he not at the communion table? Because he was not part of the body. A betrayer has nothing to do with the body of Christ. What did he have to do? Do it quickly. He left the table. Satan had already entered him. He already had determined to betray him. So he left. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this to him. You see that? Nobody knew why Jesus said to him, "What you have to do, do it quickly." I mean, do it quickly, you don't wait, right? Why you want to wait? Go, do it. He left. For some of them thought, because Judah had the back, that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things that we have knit off against the feast." You see, against the feast has said to him, "Not coming here, because there's a table they're eating. The feast is tomorrow." Tomorrow, Jesus did not eat the Passover, because he is the Passover. And now, or that he should have give something to the poor. He then, having received the soap, went immediately out. It was night. See, immediately went out. Yes or no? You know, when I first saw looking through all this thing about that, reading the scripture, you know, at that time I just kind of said, Judas had nothing to do with the Passover. I mean the communion. It's just not possible that Judas partook of the Passover, of the what they call communion. And true enough, when I studied, I realized here it was all in John. Right? Now, therefore, when he was gone, Jesus said, now he was gone out. Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jew, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple, as ye have loved one to another." Now you go back. Here is where the betrayal comes in. Okay. Then here comes the communion over in Matthew. Alright? So now, in chapter 26 Matthew, in verse 25, when Judah which betrayed him answered and said, "Lord, is it I?" He said, "Thou hast said."
Of course, right? Then he must have gone out. Emmaus, right? He's gone out. Then verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed. You see that? He's back at the table. Then Jesus, while they were eating, took bread and blessed it, and break it, and gave it to the disciple, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Is it okay? You understand it now? Alright. So that's why in all this, why do we practice feet washing first? Because according to the event. Not because we must do it that way. Because I would rather, because Jesus make an important issue here about serving one another. Because the disciple has always been saying, "Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest?" Jesus said, "The greatest is the one like me. I'm serving. I'm washing your feet. And if I do it to you, so you ought to do one another." And you don't have to wash your head or your hands. Most of all, it's your feet, because you will walk through this world of sin. We get all lot of rubbish. Huh? In our walk. Not because of our literal feet. In our walk, we get a lot of, like a peanut, in a peanut strip. Who's the guy that always, Linus, is always dragging a lot of dust with him. You know, so we need to clean our feet, we need to clean our walk in that sense. So we have to therefore follow the scripture the way we want it, do feet washing, confess one another to one another, serve one another, and then come to the communion table to acknowledge it. Because you and I, we are part of the body of Christ, we now take the Lord's Supper. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and we bless thy holy name, for thou art worthy of praise, O Lord. All that which you have so graciously shown us, Father, in the light of your word. We know, Lord, thou have written the Bible, your word, Lord, in a way that you hide it from the wise and prudent, Father, and you want the children, Lord, and children, babes such as us, Lord, and those who have a desire and heart to learn, that you will reveal all the mysteries and all the truth, Lord, to your children. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have shown us, and we pray, Lord, that we be edified and we be strengthened by what you have given to us in these days, and we ask continually again, Lord, that you will unfold more of your word to us in this hour that we live in. In our walk with you, Father, may our life truly, our feet be washed every day, Father, in how we walk before you and before men. We commit our life to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.